Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Brian, thank you very much. And you'll have heard Brian there in the news bulletin talking about the number of vaccines that have been administered in the last couple of days. Well, this Thursday, the 1st of April, should mark a major step up in the state's vaccine rollout. That's because vaccine supplies in April are expected to equal the amount delivered in the previous 4 months combined. Health officials and government are expecting to administer 250,000 jabs a week from early April and ultimately 1 million a month in this much promised second quarter. But as our reporter Barry Lenehan has been finding out, confidence in the health system's ability to deal with the increased vaccine supply is already ebbing. Barry, how can you make such a claim? Who's making such a claim? What are you hearing?
Speaking to a wide array of medical professionals, local representatives and health officials as well. This is, they say, a gargantuan operation, Claire, involving pharmacies, GP clinics, new technologies, those mass vaccination clinics, a lot of moving parts. And as the man charged with overseeing the task, the HSE's David Walsh told the Sunday Business Post this month, when you push your finger on the switch, will the light go on? So real concerns over the health system's ability to keep up with vaccine supply, deliver 250,000 jabs a week when vaccines really start arriving in 2 weeks' time. Now, earlier this month, you might recall, I brought you doubts over whether we'll have enough vaccinators, Claire. Those doubts, well, they're growing since. The HSE has now extended the closing date for vaccinator applications to work in those mass vaccination clinics for a third time to April 7th. Initially, it was March 2nd. Pay is too low for some. Others say there's not enough flexibility for those wishing to work part-time or for free. And others say that the application process is needlessly onerous and bureaucratic.
And we've heard some of those stories on the programme. And I see the front of the Irish Examiner today reporting how a former surgeon was asked for her birth cert and her junior cert results when she tried to become a vaccinator.
Yeah, part of a list of 14 requirements for some looking to apply. And GPs have also complained that they're being sent for vaccinator trainings when they want to work in these centres, even though they're delivering a vaccine clinic in their own surgery and had to do training for that. Radiographers and phlebotomists still excluded from becoming vaccinators. However, the HSE has done a U-turn on one issue I brought you previously, allowing those over 70 to become vaccinators. You'll recall Dr. Paul Moriarty, the former medical director of the Eye and Ear Hospital in Dublin. He says guidance has been changed to allow those over 70 become vaccinators once they've received the jab themselves. Now, the HSC has said it needs up to 2,600 vaccinators across the clinics. The latest figures show how 4,000 people have applied, but just 500 have signed contracts thus far.
That's an interesting disparity. So it seems the will and the interest is there, but they're not managing to convert them into people who are fully signed up then to do the job.
Correct, yes.
So what about pharmacies and pharmacists?
Community pharmacists are due to administer 50,000 jabs when we hit this 250,000 target. But pharmacists claim they're in the dark, and unless urgent clarity is provided by the Health Minister and the HSE, then vaccination targets for pharmacies will be missed. Dara O'Loughlin is the General Secretary of the Irish Pharmacy Union.
Pharmacists are trained, they're getting their pharmacies ready, they really want to be engaged, they want to start vaccinating their patients and their local communities, but we don't know yet when we can start. We haven't got the official go-ahead. We don't have any visibility at this stage on when vaccines will be delivered to us, what quantities will be delivered, which cohorts we're going to be vaccinating. There are a lot of details that still have to be released by the HSE. And at this stage, I can't tell you exactly when pharmacists will start vaccinating or which group will be vaccinating first.
The HSE might argue we can't tell you until we get the supply.
I would say we shouldn't have to wait until we have vaccines in a warehouse before we publish a plan for how we're going to use them. If we really want pharmacists to get on the pitch and start vaccinating as soon as the vaccines arrive, we need to give them plenty of notice so they can organise their staffing schedules and their premises around that and be ready for when the vaccines are delivered.
Not all pharmacists are yet vaccinated themselves.
there are patches of the country where pharmacists haven't yet been vaccinated, despite being prioritised for vaccination as health workers. And large numbers of pharmacy staff and pharmacy team members around the country who will be instrumental in the vaccination campaign through pharmacies are still waiting for appointments for their own vaccination. Every week that we delay in these details is a week when pharmacists don't do 50,000 vaccinations. If we don't put plans in place and we don't distribute the vaccines as soon as they arrive, then there is a risk that targets will be missed. And that's something none of us want to see.
The HSC this morning points to comments made last week by HSC CEO Paul Reid that pharmacies probably won't have a role in vaccine rollout in April, and pharmacists, they're still largely remaining clear of those mass vaccination centres as they claim the rate of pay to work there is around a third of what was agreed.
Barry, you've also been hearing concerns about the technology, because people will remember the Beacon controversy. The background to that was that healthcare staff were double booked for vaccine appointments. Now, what plans are in train to fix that?
So we have a new vaccine registration portal for the general public. This has been developed by IBM and Salesforce. People go in, they receive a vaccine appointment when their cohort is up. Now, the HSC says this will go live in the coming weeks. It was promised for early April. It also says work has been undertaken to ensure double appointments don't happen again, like what happened last week. No word yet, though, on when the majority of people will be vaccinated beyond those at high risk in cohort 4.
And then going back to what we were saying about flicking the switch, will the lights come on? The GPs have a significant role to play in this. They've already been rolling out vaccines, we know, but they're going to have to up the ante considerably as well. There's a huge expectation there.
Yeah, 100,000 jabs a week is the expectation. And we are expecting details of a deal between the Irish Medical Organisation and the HSC, which will see the GPs on board to vaccinate those aged 16 to 69 at very high risk. Those details expected later today. However, GPs I spoke to in several corners of the country, they claim this 100,000 target is unachievable. Some are questioning their continued participation in the rollout, even due to the increasing impact on non-COVID patient care. GPs also claim the identification of high-risk patients by hospitals is haphazard due to IT failings, and they're inundated with calls from people who think it's their turn for the jab. Now, Dr. Peter Sloan, we've heard him on the programme before, a GP in Carraroe in Galway. Does he think targets will be met?
Unfortunately, I find it very difficult to be confident based on my experience to date. What I'm hearing at the minute now is that when they've moved down to the under 70s with the AstraZeneca vaccine, the first cohort, the so-called 4A cohort, the very, very highest risk medical patients under 69 are, you know, being called from the hospital, but not in a very organised fashion. I'm aware of patients of mine, some of whom have been called that have much lower risk than others. Really, I think the genie is out of the bottle in terms of being able to have a coordinated organised response, but now the genie is gone, so I'm in a position where I really don't know anymore which of my patients under 70 have so far been vaccinated, which haven't.
So what you're saying is you're ringing people up who've been vaccinated already?
We're being told by people that they have had their vaccines, either through, you know, charity services, or people who are being called to the hospital, you know, on biologics, but it seems to me anecdotally, from what I've heard from my patients, that there is not much logical organisation at a hospital level. You'll have the dermatology clinic calling their cohort of patients that they regard as high risk. My rheumatology patients on biological agents have not been called. They would, in my view, some of them would be high risk. I've had other people who are not high risk diabetics being called by the diabetic centre. Each department is calling who they perceive to be highest risk patients, but at a global population level, that really doesn't add up to have a coordinated rollout on a risk basis.
Do you think some GPs may call it stumps here in relation to the vaccine rollout, that the administrative burden from here on in is too much?
I don't think that would be a determining factor, but there has to be recognition, I feel, very strongly from the HSC, that administratively dealing with COVID-19 vaccinations is not like any other vaccination programme. It's not like the flu vaccination. There is a substantive administrative burden involved. I just give you a very simple example. We received a delivery this morning of 60 COVID-19 vaccines, which we're running a vaccine clinic tomorrow. That's 60 patients that have to be phoned this afternoon, have to have an appointment time given to them. That's the phone off for the afternoon. We're now out of practice for half a day tomorrow to do those vaccinations. So it has a significant impingement in many ways on practice. And I don't think that there was adequate recognition given to that by the HSE, or even perhaps a real appreciation from a GP perspective at negotiation level of the burden that was involved.
250,000 vaccines administered a week, that's the plan. Do you think that the infrastructure is there to keep a pace with vaccine supplies and deliver that target?
I would hope they'll be able to deliver what they say they're going to deliver, but there would need to be some more pragmatism applied. So I believe it when I see it. I believe 250,000 a week whenever somebody produces me a figure that says that's what was vaccinated in the meantime. I would hope that they focus on crafting a deal that allows me to be able to get on with vaccinating my patients, and the same for many of my colleagues over the country.
That's Dr. Peter Sloan, Barry. He explains it very well there, the impact on this on non-COVID care. But we have the mass vaccination centres as well. And what's the latest you have on those?
14 centres are open at the moment. The HSE says 38 centres will be open by the end of April. And news this morning of a significant addition to the list. Croke Park will now be open as a vaccination clinic. 100,000 jabs a week are due to be administered across the 38 centres, with vaccinations 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. The largest centres, 5,000 jabs a day. Now, the contracts between the HSE and the location owners are for 3 months, with the option for extensions, and healthcare and vaccination workers, as well as over 65s, are currently earmarked for inoculation in these centres, with no clarity yet on further cohorts.
When the locations of those centres was announced, there was some controversy around that, including in the Health Minister's own backyard.
Yeah, the Department of Health, you'll remember, announced a list of 37 centres on February 15th, even though the HSE hadn't contacted some of the venues listed or finalised all the contracts. In Wicklow, Charlesland Golf Club and Greystones, this is Stephen Donnelly's base, it was listed as a vaccination centre, even though the HSE had the week previously entered in discussions with Wicklow County Council about using a different venue in Greystones, Shoreline Leisure Centre. Now, the estate agent managing the plans for the centre at Charlesland, Gabriel Dooley, has told me how the announcement was made before any contract was signed. He said the golf club was still being readied as a vaccination hub, however, but was then quietly dropped a week later after the announcement in favour of the leisure centre. In Longford, Slashers GA Club was unveiled by the department as a mass vaccination centre, but again, largely news to the club and eventually their facilities deemed unsuitable. It looked at one stage that Longford might be the only county in the country not to have a mass vaccination centre, but this has been rectified in recent days, a centre earmarked in Newton Forbes. However, fears are growing there it won't be ready when vaccine deliveries increase, leaving Longford lagging behind in rollout. Cathaoirleach of Longford Municipal District is Councillor Peggy Nolan.
I would actually get t-shirts printed and wear one of them myself. Longford Lives Matter. My concern now is that we have a centre, so that's good news. And just to put the message out there, Longford has so many potential spots where that centre could have been placed. So we now have a centre in Newtown Forbes, but my concern now is, because we have been hearing in the news today in particular that we will be getting a steady flow and an increased amount of vaccines available to us, that Longford has to put the boot down now. The HSE has to engage, really engage with Longford and with the community in Newtown Forbes to get this centre up and running on a par with all of the other centres in every other county in Ireland. We don't want to be the poor relations again. And as far as I'm concerned, on my watch, that will not happen.
Are you concerned Longford may lag behind other counties when it comes to vaccine rollout, given the delays around the centre?
It looks like that if the centre isn't up and running as soon as every other centre. Seeing that we were the last to be identified for a site, in all probability, we could lag behind. This is something that it's an affront to my county, and the HSE should hang their head in shame when it comes to this, because the list was in place in February. We're now at the end of March. We know that there will be, with the help of God, an abundance of vaccine by the end of April, and we have to be in a position to have that rolled out in this county.
Peggy Nolan there in Longford, and in Mayo, just one vaccination centre there in Castlebar. The former Cabinet Minister Michael Ring has been saying there should be more due to Mayo's size, but his protestations in recent weeks have fallen on deaf ears. And the Fine Gael TD isn't confident his government will meet its own vaccine targets.
Ours in Mayo is as big as County Louth. If you're coming from Belmullet or Blackside, you're over 60 miles away from Castlebar. And you, if you have to go up to that vaccination centre, it'll take you an hour and a quarter to an hour and a half to get to it. And it's not good enough.
And you made your concerns known in relation to the lack of centres in Mayo. Were you disappointed that those concerns weren't listened to?
Of course I've made my concerns known. Mayo is a big county, the third largest county in the country, and we should have more than one vaccination centre. It's outrageous when you look at Wicklow. They're only a very short fall from Dublin. A lot of these people, and we saw that last week, they weren't too far from Dublin when they need to be vaccinated. So I'm really annoyed that the people in rural Ireland are being treated as second-class citizens, and I don't like it. When they were rolling out this vaccination, it should have been rolled out equally around the country, not, you know, doing the big urban centres first and leaving rural Ireland. And it's a bit like the 5 kilometre rule. You'd know it well, it was people in suits in Dublin that was making them decisions.
When vaccine supplies increased, the chief executive of the HSC, the Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, are promising 250,000 vaccines a week will be administered across Ireland. Do you have faith in that figure?
I don't, and I don't. They have failed on all their targets so far. I'll be the first to congratulate them if they can do 250,000 a week. We set a figure. We just didn't honour what we told the people we do. But if you were in private business, the state would be on you. If you weren't doing your business, the health inspector would be on you, the VAT men would be on you, and the state would be on the private sector. Now let the state roll out these vaccines. That's the job they've been asked to do, and they should do it.
I suppose some would argue you're a government yourself, Michael, so you'd have a
bit
to answer.
I was in government myself, and I expressed these views, and I got the counties open, and
But you are in government at the moment as well as the government.
Well, I'm not a minister at the moment, but I'm in government, and I'm expressing that view all the time. You know, Barry, I don't have responsibilities like you. You don't have the responsibility of running RTE. You have a job to do. I'm doing my job at the moment. There's ministers supposed to be doing their jobs. And the government of the day should be making sure that the HSE, and, you know, we listened about Europe and all Europe were doing for us. Well, Europe let us down with the vaccines. And it's time now that everybody got in behind and we get our vaccines that we're entitled to get.
There you go. Fine Gael TD for Mayo, Michael Ring there, ending Barry Lenehan's report on what's going to happen with the vaccines in the coming weeks. Interesting times ahead. Now, coming up after the break here on the programme, financial advisor Owen McGee. So if you have any questions for Owen, now's your chance. 51551 is the text number, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.